I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning as always. And well, we've got a game to preview today, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll be dropping the puck in the middle of the day, folks, an afternoon contest at Amerant Bank Arena, Panthers and the Calgary Flames today. So a big one for the Panthers. They're all big at this point. The Panthers kind of in a seesaw back and forth battle for that top spot in the Atlantic Division with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are a point up now after their win last night. The Panthers looking for a third straight victory when they host Calgary coming up today. Flames looking to get back on the winning side of things after they were upended in Tampa a couple of nights ago. So a big one for the Panthers coming up, and we will recap the week that was. We've got some highlights from the last couple of Panthers wins. We've got some sound from Paul Maurice coming up this segment as the Panthers get set to take on Calgary today. And speaking of the matchup against the Flames, we'll preview it with the longtime Flames radio voice, Derek Wills. My friend's going to stop by coming up in the second segment. So we'll talk to him coming up in just a little bit. And then later on in the program, my conversation with Panthers defenseman Nate Schmidt from yesterday after practice. Great to hear from him. And that's a guy that it's been a lot of fun getting to know over the course of his first season with the Florida Panthers. Had a big goal last game, so we'll talk about that and more coming up later on in the show. So lots to get to here. Panthers and the Flames coming up today. So if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock is the drop of the puck at Amerant Bank Arena. And this is going to be another fun one, folks, when we've had players from last year's Stanley Cup team come back to town, a chance for everybody to welcome some of the guys back who've gone on to play other places. And of course, when you have sustained success in a salary cap league, that's going to happen. Guys are going to get pay raises elsewhere, other opportunities elsewhere. Today, Ryan Lomberg makes his return to Amerant Bank Arena. It'll be his first time on the ice in Sunrise since June 24th, since the Game 7 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. So a chance to see a good hockey game, a chance to welcome Ryan Lomberg back to town coming up later on today. 3 o'clock faceoff, floridapanthers.com, seatgeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And of course, if you can't make it, we invite you to join us across the radio network, Miami-Dade Counties. You can find us 560 WQAM, our flagship home, Real Radio 92.1 and 1230 The Gambler up in the Palm Beaches, Real Radio 101.7 on the Treasure Coast, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys, the Panthers app. It's free. It's free to listen on it. Hit the radio button, top right corner. You can always get us there. And if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, channel 220 in the car and on your SiriusXM app. That's where you can find us. Coming up today, Panthers and the Flames at 3 o'clock. Again, Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Lots to get to as we cruise through this exciting hour of Panthers Insider. And folks, our game's your way all season. Panthers fans, build the perfect plan for you with the Panthers Flex Plans. Choose the best combination of games that fit your schedule. Go to floridapanthers.com or call 954-835-PUCK for more information on Flex Plans and to secure your game day seats today. Well, folks, we go back to recapping the week that was and taking a look back over the course of the last week. Now, if you remember, 1 week ago today, the Panthers were getting set to take on the Seattle Kraken. And for the Panthers, it was the first game coming out of the Four Nations faceoff break. And that tournament captured everybody's attention so much, still being talked about. So going back to a week ago, the Panthers were coming out of the break. I know they didn't win the game that day, but let's get to some sound from before that game. I had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, as I always do prior to games. And I asked him about what it meant to kick back and watch those Four Nations face-off games and see Panthers representation on every roster. Here's what he had to say.
You know, Doug, it's the first tournament that I watched every game in. And there'd be some... We had some teams that never put anybody on those national teams, but I watched every game. I was excited about it. You're kind of measuring your game against the style of play. Really enjoyed watching our players. I thought all of them were very, very good and impactful in the game that they played. So I think they all came back feeling positive about their performance and excited now about the push, because it's kind of over for us, right? We're this is the final. We're back to a normal NHL year. So everybody's got the trade deadline. Everybody's got those things that are still ahead of us. But we don't have any more things that are related to last year, and we can look forward now.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there. Of course, the Panthers didn't win a week ago against Seattle, but they had a chance to bounce back on Tuesday in Nashville. Quick one-game road trip before they began this long homestand they're currently on. And Tuesday in Nashville, the Panthers got to their game early and really took over in that one. And why don't we relive the highlights, of course. Going back to Tuesday night's 4-1 win over the Nashville Predators. Here are the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Ekblad around the back of the net, up the far side, sends a pass rink wide. Verhaeghe tapped it to Barkov. Barkov dropped it for Verhaeghe. Pass to center, it's Reinhardt in over the offensive line. Verhaeghe near circle, trying to shot, it's blocked. And out in front, a chance, Reinhardt, and they score. It's Sam Bennett there for the tap-in, and the Panthers have a power play goal. And 1 minute, 23 seconds in, the Panthers are in business.
Here in the near corner, Anton Lundell. He takes a hard shot in the corner. He's a little bit shaken up. It was Bellows who bumped him there. Now Sordiff, left side. Boquist for Sordiff, a shot, and he scores! Justin Sordiff upstairs. His first National Hockey League goal. And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. Down to the far corner, Reinhardt. Barkov, right point. Long shot, Ekblad through traffic, but wide. Near boards, Forsling, a shot, he scores! Gus Forsling let it rip from the left point, and that one made its way through a maze of bodies, and the Panthers have the two-goal lead once again. 3-1 the score, 10:58 to go here in the third. Brady Shea behind the net for Blankenberg. He's bumped by Bennett, who took the puck right away. Pass in front, and they score! Mackie Samuskevich! What a play that was! Bennett able to steal the puck away from Blankenberg, and then he feeds it out front. Mackie Samuskevich with a beautiful fake forehand to backhand. He makes it 4-1 Panthers. 4-1 Panthers. Kulikov back behind the net. That's how this one is going to end. The final seconds tick away here in Nashville, and the Panthers win it 4-1 tonight over the Predators.
Now, Justin Sordiff was called up for that game, scored his first NHL goal. It was the eventual game winner in that one, and he joined the Panthers for one game, went right back to the Charlotte Checkers, the American Hockey League, following that one. But he came up to fill the void as Etu Luostarinen wasn't able to play. He was expecting a new addition to the family, and congratulations to Etu Luostarinen and his family. We were told the other day, mom and baby doing well, everything good there. But Justin Sordiff came in when Etu Luostarinen was going to be out of the lineup. Contributed nicely, scored the eventual game-winning goal. Here's Panthers head coach Paul Maurice on the contributions that players like Justin Sordiff, Mackie Samuskevich, Spencer Knight, guys who've spent time in the American Hockey League the last couple of years, been able to make, and what it says about what's going on in Charlotte, because the players that have gotten the call, they've been able to fit in seamlessly. Here's what Paul Maurice had to say.
So when you can get, and credit to them and Jordy Kinnear for the job they've done, when you can get a young player up, and you don't have to worry about a system. Something I'm really impressed with. Mine, because he knew where he was supposed to be. So all of a sudden he's fast. So if you're switching systems and you're not coming from a detailed system and you come into ours, you spend a lot of time big-eyed and standing around because the game happens so fast. When everybody knows what they're supposed to do, it's a fast game. He fit right into that, and on his goal, he was the low forward in our end and didn't slow down, didn't check his shoulder, didn't try to figure out if am I in the right spot. He knew it, and he starts below the goal line and goes down and scores a real nice hands goal. So good for him, but to credit both Spencer Knight, Mackie Samuskevich, the players that have spent some time in the American League, come up very well prepared.
That they have. Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there. The Panthers would take on the Oilers on Thursday night. It was a rematch of the Stanley Cup final. It was Edmonton's first trip to Sunrise since Game 7 back on June 24th. Well, the Panthers were able to do exactly what they did back in June, and that's beat the Oilers on home ice. This was, of course, a sweep of the two-game season series. Here are the highlights as the Panthers knocked off Edmonton back on Thursday.
Here's a shot. Balinskas tipped and they score! Uvis Balinskas let it go. There was traffic in front. It may have been Anton Lundell who got a piece of it. The Panthers take a 1-0 lead.
Lundell, he'll drop it down for Jesper Boqvist. Out to the point, Forsling. Long shot, save Skinner. Couldn't handle the rebound, but his defense does. And Emberson got it out to the line, not out of the zone. Ekblad right circle in front. A shot and they score! 2-1 Panthers. The Panthers had traffic out in front of the net, and it looks like it was Anton Lundell cruising by. He got a piece of that, and the Panthers take the lead. Anton Lundell up the right side into the offensive end, spots the trailer, A.J. Greer. Greer drops it back, Schmidt shot, and he scores! Nate Schmidt joins the rush, and he's able to give the Panthers the lead. 3-2 the score with 8:52 to play in regulation. Panthers in, Verhage, a shot, takes a bounce, picks it up, and he scores! Carter Verhage gives the Panthers a 4-2 lead! What an individual effort for Carter Verhage, and the Panthers are up a pair! Bennett, now the puck stolen back by Dreisaitl. He'll chip it along, McDavid after it, Bobrovsky sweeps it to the corner, 5 seconds to go. Bennett will hammer it out the line, kept in by Bouchard, the shot blocked by Barkov, puck rolls to the neutral zone, and the Panthers close it out. The Panthers win it 4-3 over the Edmonton Oilers here tonight. A rematch of the Cup Final, and the Panthers sweep the season series.
So a win for the Panthers back on Thursday over Edmonton, 4-3 was the final there. And then yesterday, the Panthers' focus shifted as they were back on the ice for practice to take it on Calgary coming up today. So after the Panthers' practice yesterday, Paul Maurice spoke to the media, and I asked him what he expects from this matchup against Calgary, a team that's coming in the thick of a wild card race. They're going to be an urgent team coming off a loss, no doubt about it. The Panthers are going to see a lot of teams in that exact same mindset. Down the stretch, Paul Maurice here talking about this matchup against an urgent Calgary team.
We've got that right down the stretch. I think we get through this game, we only have one more Western Conference opponent. So the game's different in the West. The defensive schemes are different. And it'll be good to get back to the East to play more teams to play the style of game that we're used to. So in our games against the Western Conference, there's just less familiarity. See, there's more aberration on what the other teams do. You just don't have a book on them as well. So you go in wanting to make sure that the things that are important to your team's success are there. We've liked our game where we're at. We had a few things that we needed to clean up this morning. I think we did that.
So Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, one more from him. I mentioned with Calgary coming in today, it's a chance for the fans in Sunrise to be able to welcome back Ryan Lomberg, a guy who was a fan favorite, no doubt about it, during his time with the Panthers. He was a part of the 2024 Stanley Cup Championship squad. That makes him part of not only Panthers lore, but South Florida sports lore, really forever to come. So here's Paul Maurice talking about the fact that he's looking forward to the fans being able to welcome Ryan Lomberg back today.
It's great to share that with Ryan and the fans, because he had a connection there and a connection certainly to our team. So you do get to enjoy it. These guys are all playing on other teams now, but they still feel like they're yours. You know, they're part of that collective memory that we have that'll never change. So I'm happy for him to get to share that with the fans.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there. Panthers fans, the Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial is open and ready for you. Register today for public skate sessions, hockey programs for kids and adults, curling, and more. Come enjoy this brand new community gem in the heart of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Go to FTLWarMemorial.com for all the program details and to sign up. And folks, it's time to join the rush for the inaugural Cats Cup. Register your team for the largest street hockey tournament in South Florida, presented by Verizon and Coors. Join us at Amerant Bank Arena for 2 full days of hockey. That's March 15th and 16th. Whether you're cheering for your future Panthers or just love playing hockey, the Cats Cup has something for every fan. Sign up now at FloridaPanthers.com. Quick look at the NHL standings heading into action on this Saturday. As far as the overall picture looks in the Eastern Conference, the Panthers 1 point back at Toronto, who knocked off the Rangers yesterday. And of course, the Leafs have won 4 straight. Tampa Bay right behind the Panthers. They've won 7 straight. So the big teams in the Atlantic, they're starting off a heck of a race here down the stretch. The Panthers 1 point back at Toronto with one more game played. Panthers and the Leafs, of course, play each other three more times down the stretch. So those three games could determine the outcome of the, well, top spot in the Atlantic Division anyway. Top three seeds over in the Metro Division, Washington, Carolina, New Jersey. The two wildcard teams currently Detroit and Columbus, both of them 4 points up on the next group of three, all sitting with 62 points, Ottawa, the Rangers, and the Bruins. So this race is shaping up to be a pretty tight one down the stretch. And, of course, a big one for the Panthers coming up today, a chance to potentially jump back into that top spot in the Atlantic. We're going to step aside here on Panthers Insider when we come back, a chance to preview this Panthers Flames clash this afternoon a little bit more with my friend and yours, the longtime radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Derek Wills is going to stop by with us. That's coming up next segment. Panthers and the Flames today at 3. Don't forget the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll go head-to-head Monday night at Amerant Bank Arena on Sunrise. 7 o'clock face-off for that one. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Derek Wills joins us next to talk about today's matchup from the Calgary perspective. This is Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network presented by Baptist Health.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you as always, talking Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Thank you very much for being on board with us this morning. Panthers and the Calgary Flames coming your way this afternoon. It's going to be a 3 o'clock face-off at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. So we hope to see you there. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK for your tickets. And Panthers fans, join the 93 Society email club to stay up to date on all things Panthers. Be the first to know about special ticket offers, exclusive events, and more. Sign up at FloridaPanthers.com. Special guest joining us here this segment to help us preview things from the Calgary Flames perspective. Longtime Flames radio voice, my friend and yours, Derek Wills, kind enough to stop by. Derek, good morning. How are you today? And thanks for stopping by.
Good morning, my friend. Could be a lot worse waking up on Fort Lauderdale Beach this morning. Beautiful day out here and looking forward to a good hockey game this afternoon.
Yeah, you got some great weather here during your trip southward. So we'll get into the game this afternoon here in just a few moments. First, though, got to preface it, folks. We're going to give the warm welcome to Derek Wills here because a lot of the folks out there, if you're driving around, you're tuned in this morning, he's as big a Miami Dolphins fan, if not a bigger Miami Dolphins fan, than anybody out there in the listening audience. Derek, have you planned the 2025 trip down to Hard Rock Stadium yet? Is that still in the works?
Yeah, still in the works. Wait for the schedule to come out. But I had an absolute blast attending my first Dolphins home game. I've been a fan since 1984 when Marino's time started. Saw them on TV playing in the Super Bowl. Loved the colors. And that's really the truth behind why I became a Dolphins fan. But I fell in love with the team over the last 40 or so years. And there's been some hard times, but I think they've got a pretty good core put together. We'll see if Tua can stay healthy next year, but looking forward to football season for sure. It's a long break for NFL fans, so the sooner September rolls around, the better.
Yeah, I was really excited for you. You got to make that trip down to South Florida to catch a game. Derek Wills here with us, radio voice of the Flames. You can find him on X, Twitter, Fan960 Wills. That's where he is there. Before we get into today's game, because it is still fresh, because it is still a topic, I know it's been a topic down here quite a bit over the course of the last week as we've recapped it, but the Four Nations face-off going in, Derek, what did you expect? Did it exceed your expectations? What did you think of the tournament overall?
Yeah, I was expecting a competitive event. I thought Finland would struggle, and they actually were more competitive than I thought they would be, and I thought Sweden was the third best team and that it was going to be between Canada and the U.S. And that's the way it turned out. And that was a great championship final and really could have gone either way. And, you know, if Matthew Tkachuk is healthy, maybe the United States wins that game and wins that tournament. But I thought it was fantastic, probably exceeded my expectations. But for a lot of those guys, Doug, it was the first opportunity to, I wouldn't say it was best on best. It was kind of best on best, although a lot of the best players in the world didn't play because their countries weren't there. But I really do think that it whets your appetite for the Olympics a year from now, and some fantastic hockey. That game between Canada and the U.S., the first one with three fights in the first 9 seconds. I've been calling pro hockey games for 24 years. I've never seen anything like that. So it's a great rivalry that's built up. And, yeah, I think it was fantastic, and I think the Olympics could be even better.
Yeah, it lays the groundwork for the Olympics, no doubt about that. Diving into your Calgary Flames, a team that the Panthers fans only get to see come to town once per season. Ran into a pretty hot Tampa Bay Lightning team last time out. But, Derek, just give us a sense of where this team is coming into today's matchup against the Panthers. They're knocking on the door of a wild card spot. They're right there in that fight with Vancouver, with Utah. It looks like it's shaping up to be a heck of a race there. But as far as this Calgary team recently, what's been working? What would they like to clean up coming off that loss into today's game?
Yeah, the Flames have been a pleasant surprise for most of the season, Doug. And Sportsnet's preseason power rankings, they had them 31st. So they did not think the Flames were going to be a competitive team. I certainly didn't think that they would be near the bottom. I also didn't think that they would be in the fight for a playoff spot this deep into the season unless almost everything fell into place, and that hasn't been the case. But they have been a good hockey team. Every coach I've asked about the Flames, I think the first two words out of their mouth is exactly the same thing, hardworking. So that's how I would describe the Flames. They don't have the generational players that some teams do. They don't have a Matthew Tkachuk anymore or even a Sam Bennett. So it's been a ton of fun to watch him have success with the Panthers and win the Four Nations face-off for Canada. But, you know, they've got a team that rolls four lines and three pairings. The goaltending's been really good. Dustin Wolf has been one of the best rookies in the league this season, certainly the best rookie goaltender. So they're 1 point out of a playoff spot. Again, a spot that not many people thought that they would be in. And this will be game three of a season-long six-game road trip for them. And they're pretty happy with the way they played in the first couple of games. They went into Washington and beat a red-hot Capitals team that had an 8-game point streak and a 16-game home point streak. A really impressive 3-1 victory on Tuesday. And then Thursday, I thought they played a pretty good game in Tampa. You know, they lost 3-0. There was a weird goal to open scoring that went off a skate and in, and then an empty netter at the end of the game to make the game look a lot more lopsided than it actually was. Defensively, the Flames were really good in that game, again, against a red-hot Lightning team that's now won 7 straight and picked up at least a point in 9 consecutive. So, you know, the fact that the Flames went toe-to-toe with them, just couldn't put a puck past Andre Vasilevsky. But two pretty good games to start this trip, and the Flames will have to play the same way against the Panthers today. They don't win a lot of high-scoring games. If they can get to 4, it's a minor miracle. So they'll try to win a 2-1 or a 3-2 type of game today.
And when you play those kind of games, you do rely on solid goaltending. And the Flames, you mentioned Dustin Wolf. They've gotten that this year from him. And the last couple of years, what you always heard about him was best goalie outside of the National Hockey League. That was kind of the thing that floated around with Dustin Wolf. And I think he's quickly turned into one of the names that people need to know. And to be honest with you, I don't think he gets enough consideration for the Calder Trophy this year. I know Macklin Celebrini and Lane Hutson and the like have had really nice seasons, but Dustin Wolf is a huge reason why this team is battling for a playoff spot. What's the biggest quality you've noticed in this young goaltender? Because he's certainly not the biggest guy by modern goaltending standards, but he's come in as a young player and made a heck of a mark this year.
Yeah, Doug, I think he's the single biggest reason why the Flames are where they are, and that's 1 point out of a playoff spot. And the other thing you heard about Dustin Wolf prior to the start of the season, a lot of people were worried about his size. He is undersized. He's not a small man. He's probably 5'11", maybe 6 feet on a good day, but that's undersized by NHL goaltending standards. For instance, Dan Vladar, his partner, is 6'5". Jacob Markstrom, who was the Flames' number one goaltender for the last 4 years, is 6'6", so he looks small compared to them, but he certainly plays big, and he is so solid technically. And you don't say this about goaltenders very often, but he has a really high hockey IQ. He can read the play, anticipate what's going to happen next, and he doesn't look small is what I'll say. He makes himself look big, hardly ever scrambles around to make a save, doesn't put himself in a bad spot where he's got to make that second or third save where maybe size becomes more of an issue. So he has been fantastic. And, you know, everything that I've heard and seen suggests that he is one of the four guys who has a legitimate chance to win the Calder Trophy this season. And you know, pretty impressive for a 23-year-old goalie in his first season as a full-time NHLer. And the Flames believe he will be their first homegrown number one goaltender since Mike Vernon. So it's been a little while, and the fan base couldn't be more excited about Dustin Wolf.
And a seventh-round pick nonetheless, so guy that they pegged in the draft in the late rounds a few years back, and he's certainly ascended to where they would have hoped he would. So Dustin Wolf, the goaltender for Calgary, making a good mark in the NHL this season. Derek Wills here with us, longtime radio voice, the Flames. Guy, I want to ask you about, it's been special this season when members of the 2024 Stanley Cup championship team have made their return to Sunrise. And I talked about it back in the first segment, but when you have sustained success in a salary cap league, guys are going to get other opportunities elsewhere. They're going to move on. Turns out Ryan Lomberg went back to Calgary, where he actually broke into the National Hockey League a number of years ago. Derek Wills, are you excited to see the pop that he's going to get from the fans this afternoon? Because I know it's going to be a nice reception. And also, what's the difference between the Ryan Lomberg that you're seeing now compared to the one that you saw break into the National Hockey League a number of years back?
Yeah, I am excited for him. We actually just shot a TV commercial for, not that this is going to mean anything to people in this neck of the woods, but for Country Hills Toyota a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun to work with him on that. And he's been a fan favorite with the Flames, going back to when he started playing professional hockey and kind of had to work his way up through the ranks. And obviously, with the way he plays the game, fans fall in love with Ryan Lomberg, as they did in Calgary and as they did in Sunrise. So, you know, I'm excited to see what kind of reception he gets today at Amerant Bank Arena. And, you know, whatever he gets, he will deserve. And talking to him yesterday, he is super excited about his return to Sunrise. Doesn't like playing in Tampa, or at least against the Lightning, very much. We learned that a couple of days ago as well, dropping an F-bomb on Sportsnet. But certainly this will be a special game for him as he looks up into the rafters and sees the Stanley Cup banner. I'm sure he had a chance to catch up with some of his former teammates, or if he hasn't already, he will before the game or maybe after the game. But, you know, he's been a big part of the Flames. And when the season started, there was a lot of talk about the six-man leadership group inside of the dressing room, so the captain and the five alternates. But Ryan Lomberg pretty quickly became the seventh member of that group. And when you've won a Stanley Cup, that gives you some street cred inside the dressing room. So he's been a really important part of that group that's been the conduit between the coaches and the rest of the players. And he has been the loudest voice inside of the Flames dressing room this season. When the team needs a shot in the arm, Ryan Lomberg is almost always the guy to do it. And as you know, he's not afraid to drop the gloves. I think he's been in seven fights this season. So there's a reason why Ryan Lomberg is a fan favorite wherever he plays.
Yeah, the last time he was on the ice in Sunrise was June 24th, Game 7, getting that win over Edmonton and hoisting the Stanley Cup. So I know a lot of folks excited to see him get back into the building today. Derek Wills, longtime radio voice of the Flames, will leave you on this one here. Heading into today's game, plain and simple, if the Flames are going to have success, if they're going to make things tough on the Panthers, what's the biggest key for them today?
Well, they'll probably need their goaltender. I think it's going to be Dustin Wolf, but I'm not 100% sure. This is the Flames' eighth back-to-back of the season. Wolf has started the first game. Vladar has started the second game in the first seven. So the writing is on the wall, but Vladar played well in his start in Washington to get this trip going, and the Flames won. Wolf played well in Tampa, but the Flames lost. So I guess we'll have to wait until warm-up to see. But you know, chances are that whoever is in between the pipes to the Flames will have to be at least as good, if not better, than Sergei Bobrovsky at the other end. And the Flames just have to play their game. They can't get sucked into a run-and-gun type of game. They just don't have the talent that the Panthers do, even without former Flame Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup. And if the Flames are going to win this game, they're going to have to stay on the right side of the puck, stay on top of the puck, and try to keep it a low-event, low-scoring game. Now, with that said, they did that in Tampa a couple of nights ago and didn't score a goal. So they're also going to have to generate more offensively. So we'll see what happens. I know that Ryan Lomberg is looking forward to playing in this game, and so are Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar, who have been two of the Flames' best players this season. And, Doug, I want you to keep an eye on Huberdeau today, because he's obviously not putting up the same numbers that he did when he had 115 points in his final season with the Panthers. But in my opinion, and in his, He is a better 200-foot player now than he's ever been. I'm not saying he's Sasha Barkov or anything, but you know he's been the Flames, I think, best forward this season. So keep an eye on him and his evolution as a player today.
Now, we'll certainly keep an eye on him, and the Panthers will be looking to avenge a loss at the Saddle Dome back in December, a game when Dustin Wolf really made a difference, had a shutout in that one. Derek Wills, longtime radio voice of the Flames, kind enough to join us here on Panthers Insider, friend of the program. Look forward to seeing you this afternoon. Derek, thanks as always for stopping by.
Always a pleasure to chat with you, and looking forward to a good game today.
Yep, we will see you in a little bit. That's Derek Wills, longtime radio voice of the Flames. You can find him on Twitter, X, at Fan960Wills, so you can check him out there and follow along. And as always, we thank him very much for his time. We'll step aside. We'll come back. We'll have a conversation with Panthers defenseman Nate Schmidt coming up on the other side of the break. More Panthers Insider to come. Again, thanks to Derek Wills for stopping by. Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. It's Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. Panthers fans, don't miss your chance to secure the limited edition Sergei Bobrovsky bobblehead ticket package. Secure tickets to three games and an exclusive bobblehead starting just $100. Package on sale now. FloridaPanthers.com. is where to go. Well, yesterday after the Panthers practiced out at the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial, had a chance to catch up with Panthers defenseman Nate Schmidt, coming off scoring a nice goal in Thursday's win over the Edmonton Oilers. Here's that conversation with Nate Schmidt.
All right, well, Nate, first thing, looking back at that last one, nice goal in the third period. Take me through that one. And for you, a guy that's always had a good offensive instinct, what's the key to knowing when you have that opportunity to create a passing lane to jump up in a rush like that?
Yeah, you know, we had a good change from RD, but the other part of it is that you see their guys going off the ice, and anytime you can jump around somebody, you know that the guys coming on are chasing you down, so you at least have them on your back. At least for me as a lefty, you can push that puck a little bit further away from their change and know that they can't get in the lane. So it's one of those things that you feel a energy in that game, you know, a sense of emotion that was heightened versus other games that you played recently. So it felt good. It feels like you know, it's almost like, you know, like you play as a defenseman, you know when that spot is there, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, and I find that if there's a chance late in the game, a heightened game like that, you gotta give yourself a chance, you gotta give yourself an opportunity to at least be up in the play if they need you. I mean, the drop pass top circle by Anthony Greer, it was great. I didn't see it coming. I called for it. I didn't know if he was going to do it or not.
And it seems like here, this coaching staff has really given you and the D the green light to, you know, responsibly jump up and activate when that opportunity is there. How nice is it to have that kind of green light?
It's really nice to have the confidence that he has in our group too, and understanding where our pressure needs to come from. Like if RD are up the ice, we always talk about it as defensemen. It's tough when the other team's D jump in the play. It's tough to try and defend that. It's virtually impossible if you don't have any back pressure. So you're just hoping that you can give up a C or a B chance. And like I said, with Greer's being able to step in there and our staff telling us to go, my thought was, don't even think. Let's get up and see what happens.
And going off a couple of things that you said there, you mentioned a game where the intensity's kind of heightened. And I know you weren't here last year, but did it feel like that game against Edmonton had a little bit more to it? And when this team has played Carolina and Boston and Toronto and the Rangers, the teams that the Panthers have had some playoff history with, have you been able to feel that pretty quickly, that there is a history with some of these opponents?
Yeah, you know from the first hit you take. The first hit you take, there's a little bit more oomph behind it. There's a little bit more jam. There's a little bit more intent with that forecheck. So I think, especially last night's game, you know, I lost the final when I was in Vegas to Washington. I remember the games were like against Washington the following year were just as nasty and just as carried over And so that's what I try to prepare myself, to lean on experience from myself there and understand that this is the game. Like, you had to jack yourself up to play because you don't know what you're going to get. I know they had, you know, hadn't won in a little bit here, but that doesn't mean that a game like that isn't going to have a heightened sense of emotion.
And one last question about the last game you scored. Your defense partner, Uwe Spolinska, scored as well, opened up the scoring in that game. What's it been like playing with him this year? Yeah. What have you enjoyed most about pairing up with him?
Yeah, I think Uwe and I have grown a lot since the beginning of the year, just understanding what each other needs and wants in the play and where I need to be for him and vice versa. And I think that only grows with time. That grows with experience, too. I know, you know, he's an older player that's come over as a rookie, but he still is, you know, pretty new to this league. And the fact that I thought, you know, as the year has gone on, the more comfortable he's got, the more he opens up. I know we talked a little bit about it after the game, about his communication. I find that that also gets you into the game. You're so much more dialed into the game when you're talking. You're dialed into the plays that are happening on the ice. You're chatting it up afterwards at the TV timeouts. I think that's where the growth between him and I have really made some tremendous strides over the last 20 games or so is that, you know, talking about things that we see and understanding that, you know, he's feeling more comfortable with me. I think that's a huge part. It's not easy to speak. I don't speak a second language. So I can only imagine how hard it is to try and communicate with someone like myself who talks all the time. You know, you're probably like, I don't know if he's as confident with it at first, but he has gotten a lot more, and I think it's just started to show.
And you can speak to this as a defenseman. You always hear with defensemen, they say, you know, 300 games is that magic number. People always say when a guy hits 300 games, then you kind of, that's when the player's fully adapted to the National Hockey League. In a lot of cases, that's when a lot of the learning has happened. But, you know, you hit that 700 game milestone earlier this year. You've been a guy who's continued to evolve your game as time's gone along. What is it about the defense position that maybe makes it? I think a lot of people would say, I grew up playing defense. You're a defenseman. You're probably going to say the same thing. But it seems like it's the toughest position to learn in the National Hockey League because you're juggling so many different things. What is it about the position that makes it, you know, like I said, the longest adjustment process?
Yeah, I find that it's just the ability of the forwards in this league to open space up and how they can. I mean, you just don't. When I first came in the league, there was a lot of, you know, heavy hitting, fighting guys that played the third, fourth lines. The second lines had guys that were more two way forwards. You know, maybe a skill guy, and then the top line was pretty much all skill guy. Now you have four lines of skill guys. I mean, you look at AJ Greer; they can go out and he can play skill and he can fight. Like, that's the breed of forward nowadays, and the amount of skills work that they do. And everyone can skate, everyone can shoot, everyone can move the puck. And I think that in today's day and age, and especially as defensemen on the other side of things, the way that they, this, you know, the deception they have with the puck and the skill work, that you can't just sit in your spot and just hope that the next play is going to happen. I mean, defensively, you have to be so dialed in at all times, where the puck's coming from, what their neutral zone forechecks are, where your pressure's supposed to be, where your support is if you get the puck. Those things only come with time. That's an experience thing. You got to know if you feel that guy on your left hip, that if I spin and throw this puck in the middle, my centerman's got to be there. You know, like, it has to be. That has to be the idea behind it. Instead of going back there and guessing and hoping that the guy's there, the experience part of that is getting used to the league, is knowing where your guys are supposed to be. And that's the difference between the NHL and, in my opinion, any other league. The guys are going to be there. If they're not there, it's not usually there's a breakdown somewhere, right? Like, that's just the way that this game is, how structured and detailed each of the players are.
And a question going back to your experience, but not necessarily as much X's and O's. We're getting down to the stretch run here. Standings watching. Would you say that Nate Schmidt now watches the standings more day-to-day than you did as a young player? Is it the same? Do you watch it less? Because, and the reason I say that is we've all seen at the end of a season how much value can come down to one point here and there.
For sure. It's amazing what can happen. And everyone looks back, oh, that one game in November or that one game in December, you know, that we could have had if we just had one more point a month. You know, it's crazy when you start to think about it. If we just had one more point a month, you know, we would have made it or whatnot. So I find that I feel like I watched it more when I was younger. But as I've gotten older, I've paid attention to, like, the games more. You know, I just, you know, when you're in your 30s, you start to realize that there are just, it's fun. It's a fun, beautiful game that you still get to be a part of, especially with all the new younger players coming in. And I just, you know, I find that there's an excitement around hockey for me this year that I've just enjoyed I've enjoyed being around them. I really have. I really have enjoyed this year and watching the game and being a part of it. I know a lot of times I'd leave the rink and I'd try and put everything away from me. Now I find that, you know, like I watched the Four Nations game. Loved every second of that. That was amazing. I mean, I know there's more than that, but I thought that was so cool. And so I would say that I've watched more hockey this year than I usually do, but I also, like I said, I think the headspace clears that up for me.
And the last one here for you, and obviously huge thanks for your time here, but get ready for one against the Calgary Flames mm-hmm. here. You guys have won your last two, and things seem to be clicking pretty well. They were going along great heading into the break. What have you liked the most about the way you guys have played lately, and what needs to continue into this next one?
Yeah, you know, I find that our team needs to have some jam into a game early, and I find that we did against Edmonton and today against Calgary. I think it has to be the same idea that you look at their roster, their team that's there, that's fighting for their lives, and you know that this is the time of year that where the separation starts to happen. If you don't, well, then you see guys getting shipped out. You know, that's just the way it is. This is the nature of the beast, and so you have to expect them to play, you know, that Western Canadian type of style, right? And I find that through this next, you know, couple of games, I find that if we continue to stay our close support and get our feet moving up the ice, I mean, we've changed a little bit. You know, I think we've morphed into this a little bit more tighter, you know, support up the ice that is helping us out a lot. I think it's keeping guys close and not spraying the game out as much. I think it's helped our defensemen out a ton, and I think it's helped out our defensive game a lot.
Great conversation there with Nate Schmidt, Panthers defenseman. Big thanks to him for being so generous with his time. That was yesterday after practice. Had a chance to catch up with him. And again, just a great personality. He's fit in really nicely on the Panthers back end. Scored a big goal last time out. He and the Panthers will look for more success coming up this afternoon. 3:00, Calgary Flames in town. So you don't want to miss that. Again, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. To get your tickets. We hope to see you out there for the 3:00 faceoff today. Other action across the NHL today gets going 12:30 Eastern. Predators at the Islanders. Lightning in Washington. That's a big one. Also at 3 Eastern, Boston heads into Pittsburgh. 6:00, you've got the outdoor game at the Horseshoe in Columbus. Detroit visiting the Blue Jackets for that one. Flyers Jets at 7. Also at 7, Canadian Sabres. Oilers in Raleigh to take on the Hurricanes. San Jose heads into Ottawa. 8:00 Eastern, LA at St. Louis. At 9:00, New Jersey at Utah. And at 10:00 Eastern, Vancouver visits Seattle and Chicago in Anaheim. So that's the rest of your NHL slate on this busy Saturday, March 1st. The calendar has flipped to March. It's playoff race time, division race time. In the National Hockey League, we're going to be watching the standings, watching the scoreboards night to night. It's going to be a fun sprint to the finish, and it all gets going today with the Panthers and the Flames. 3:00 across the Panthers radio network, so you don't want to miss it. Thanks to Nate Schmidt, Panthers defenseman. Thanks to Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Thanks to Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and thanks to all of you for stopping by. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers radio network, presented by Baptist Health.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.